If you have your Bibles today, would you please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to continue our series on faith for the journey from this wonderful chapter of faith. And today we're going to look at the next character that is there as we go down this chapter. We're going to look at the next character that comes up. You know, when I was younger, I used to believe, and you'll see it goes to my ignorance, of course, but I used to believe that each of these individuals lived complete lives of faith, that they were just stellar individuals. But I was wrong. You know, when you began to read, not only we read chapter Hebrews 11, but when you began to look back at the Old Testament, I began to realize that there were some that had stellar lives of faith, like Abraham and even Joseph, but there were others that struggled with their faith. That they knew the promises of God, and they knew the direction God was leading, but they just struggled to follow. And at times, their faith, when you look upon them, you may have wondered, was there faith, or how strong was that faith? But you know, I think it's good because it provides examples we can relate to. I don't know about you, but when I look at Joseph, I can't relate to him because I have made my mistakes. Now, I'm not saying Joseph was perfect, but Joseph, when we see his testimony in the Bible, you see a life of faith. You know, I'm ashamed when I read some of them because I think, man, I need to be stronger in my faith. But then we come to some that we look and say, yeah, I can relate to that. I know exactly what he's going through, or I understand the struggles that he faced as well. Now, today we're going to examine the faith of a man that I believe at times was questionable. Now we're going to talk about Jacob. Hebrews chapter 11, notice it says there in verse 21, it says, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped. It says, leaning upon the top of his staff. You know, we have three accounts here. Last week we talked about Isaac, today we're going to talk about Jacob, and next week Joseph. And in Hebrews 11, these three men, they're each given one verse, but there's not a whole lot of explanation provided in this passage. I believe for two reasons. One, I believe this letter was written to the Hebrews, so I imagine the writer understood that these men knew the Old Testament and probably would be able to either go back or with their memory recall what had taken place. And secondly, as we'll see, each one of these dealt with faith at the end of their life. So that's what they had in common. It talks about the faith that they had as they were nearing death. And this morning, we're going to look at Jacob. Now, Jacob lived by faith, though it was unclear at times. But I'll tell you what, it was there. And we'll see that this morning. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into this message. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for blessing us. I thank you for those that have come out this morning. And as we look at the life of Jacob a little bit, and we look at his faith as he drew near to the end, I pray that you will, of course, teach us from your word, but also challenge our hearts today. I pray that you'll stir our hearts as we look at his faith. I pray that you'll challenge our faith. And I pray that if there's anybody here that has not put their faith in you or is struggling with their faith, that they may learn from his example, and that today they will not leave the same, but they'll have stronger faith after looking at his life. Please bless us today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to notice three, or want to draw your attention this morning to three points concerning the life of Jacob or the faith of Jacob. And I want to begin by talking about first the fact that his faith looked feeble. And what I mean by that is, when you would look upon his faith in the Old Testament, it looked feeble or faint or weak. And at times you may wonder if it was even there. You know, Jacob was a restless man, always on the go. Now, there may be some that are like that. I mean, Jacob couldn't sit still, always moving. G. Campbell Morgan used to tell the story of when he was younger, he said his grandpa offered him a penny if he could sit still for 5 minutes. And when he told the story, he was in his 70s, he said he still was looking for that penny. He could never sit still himself. Now, there may be some of you that are like that. Some of you may have children that are like that. That was Jacob, restless, always on the go, always doing something. And when you read of his life in the Old Testament, it was filled with mountaintops, but it was also filled with great valleys. He would receive a blessing, and then he'd go into a big trial. And often the trial was caused by his own actions or by his own doings. Have you ever looked to find something in the distance? Perhaps you're talking with someone and say, you see that over there? Have you ever strained to look to see if you could see it? And then you say, well, I think I see it. Maybe you're looking at a plane in the sky, or maybe you're looking at something off in the hills, and you say, I think I see it. That's how Jacob's faith often was in the Old Testament. And I'll give you some examples here in a minute. When we read of his life, you wonder, well, I believe he was saved. He was a man of faith, but the faith really isn't showing anywhere near in this situation. You see, with Jacob, we find a faith in God that was always overshadowed by his clever actions. Now, you may be a clever person today. How many of you like to plan? I enjoy planning. Sometimes I overplan. Jacob was a schemer, and I believe he was a planner. And often his faith was overshadowed by these plans and these actions that he made. You know, by faith, we find that he wanted the birthright. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. He had faith in the promise that God had given. And by faith, he wanted that birthright that belonged to him. But you know what the Bible tells us? That he took advantage of a hungry Esau to get that. Now think about that for a minute. Here we have Esau. The Bible tells us, and you find that in Genesis, the Bible tells us that Esau came back from the fields. He was tired, he was hungry, and to the point that he was weary. Thought he was going to die, and he finds Jacob. And he says, feed me some of that pottage that you have. And what's Jacob do? He says, for a price. Now think about that. Where's the faith there? He says, for a price. Now, he had faith in the covenant, but he didn't have faith that God could work in his life. And so, we find that he basically got the birthright from Esau, but he didn't do it by faith. Secondly, think of this. By faith, he desired the blessing that his father had for him. Now, Isaac, you know, we talked a little bit about this last week. He went into Isaac with his mom helping him out, and they schemed, they planned, and they deceived. They deceived Isaac, so that way he could receive the birthright or receive the blessing. Now, he received it. But at what cost? The Bible tells us that he had to flee afterwards. He had to leave his family. Esau hated him and vowed to kill him. And so he was on the run pretty much for the next 20 years. And later in life, you know what? We find he wanted to return. God directed him to go back to the land. And he wanted to go back. But I think he chose to wait things out. He thought it might be a little bit better if I wait a little bit. Esau's a little mad at me still. But he did go back by faith, and he conquered his fear, and he went back by faith. You know what we find with Jacob? Faith was always present, but fears often directed his actions. You know, if we're not careful as believers, we can fall into that as well. We can have faith. We can be saved by grace and through faith. We can know God as our Savior. We can know the Scriptures. But then when it comes time to apply it, we can struggle. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not up here saying, oh, it's easy to live by faith, because at times it is difficult to live by faith. At times it is a struggle to say, yeah, God will see me through this trial. Yes, God has a plan for me as I deal with this hardship. You see, if we're not careful, we can also be directed by our fears or other emotions as well. And our faith from the outside may appear to be feeble, just as Jacob's did at many times. You know, Jacob had a life of faith mingled with, I got a fly up here bothering me, try to get rid of him. He had a life of faith mingled with self-will. What I mean by that is, yes, he lived by faith, but you'll notice it was a lot of what he wanted to do is what led the way. You know, the Bible tells us that the Lord appeared unto Abraham seven times. He appeared unto Abraham seven times. You know, you'll find books, you'll find Bible studies, you'll find messages, you'll find all types of material concerning Abraham and the Lord appearing unto him seven times. Each time that God appeared unto Abraham, it was to either provide a new teaching or lead him into, I guess, a new venture of faith. I mean, it was exciting each time he appeared unto Abraham. Do you realize the Lord appeared unto Jacob five times? Where are the books? Where are the Bible studies? Where are the sermons? They're hard to find. I have found one or two that talk about it, but for the most part, it's neglected. Probably because each time he appeared unto him, it was for correction. Every single time he appeared unto Jacob, there was some type of correction involved. He was basically picking up Jacob, saying, okay, get back over here. Let me straighten you out. No, leave that alone. You need to come this direction. No, you got that wrong. You need to come over here. You see, each time he appeared unto Jacob, it was to correct Jacob, to set him straight and put him back on that correct path. You know why we probably don't have Bible studies on that? It's because our human nature recoils at correction. You know, we want to correct others, but we don't like to be corrected. And so, often we neglect Jacob and the understanding that comes with that. But you know what, I think at times we can learn from Jacob, because if we're honest, we're all stubborn at times, and we all do our own thing, and we all need to be set straight and walk with God again. But there was faith, and I want to make that clear. There was faith, and that cannot be overlooked. Jacob did have faith. It was like seeing the sun on a cloudy day, though. At times it was blended in, but there was faith. He had faith in God's covenant, as we'll see here in a minute. And he greatly desired the blessings that God had for him. You see, he loved the Lord. He considered that birthright valuable, while Esau, the Bible tells us, despised it. You see, yes, he may have went about it the wrong way, but he wanted the things of God. He wanted to receive the blessings God had for him. So his faith was present, but at times it appeared feeble. And those around him may have wondered if his faith was real. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 47, because I'm going to get into our next 2 points. And this is faith that looked forward. We're going to go to the passage that Hebrews 11 is referring to. This is our second point here this morning, and that is faith that looked forward. In his life, he had faith that looked feeble. Now we're going to see at the end of his life, he displayed faith that looked forward. Now as you're turning there, have you ever noticed how the sun seems to shine brightly after a storm? The clouds kind of roll away, and everything seems to be glimmering. I mean, you have the water on the flowers and the trees and the grass, and it just, the air is clear, and it just seems to be sparkling and almost beautiful looking. That's what I believe we find Jacob at the end of his life. Yes, he struggled at times. There was faith there, but as the clouds were removed, as he's nearing the end of his life, it became evident that he was a man of faith, that he loved God, that he served God, that he looked to God. And we're going to see that here as we look at this chapter. Genesis chapter 47, and it says there, then Joseph came. Chapter 48, Genesis 48 says, and it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his 2 sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee. And I will make of thee a multitude of people and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy 2 sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And thy issue which thou begettest after them shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren and their inheritance. He says, and as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath, and I buried her there in the way. It says in verse 8, and Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, whose are these? Or who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them, and it says, and embraced them. And I'm going to stop there, and here in a minute we'll continue on. But I'm going to give you some thoughts here concerning Jacob's faith looking forward. Jacob's faith looking forward. He is now nearing the end of his life. And as he's nearing the end of his life, by faith, the Bible tells us that he blessed the sons of Joseph. He blessed them. Now these young men, and we'll give you some thoughts here on the situation. These young men were different than the rest of his family. Notice the Bible tells us that Joseph went with his 2 sons to see his father. I believe that's probably because they didn't live in the same area as the rest of the Israelites. Keep in mind, Joseph was still the prime minister of Egypt. God had blessed him greatly. He was the second most powerful man in that nation. Some believe in the world at the time. And these boys probably lived with him. At this point, they're young men. These young men lived with him. And here the time comes that news arrives to Joseph that his dad is nearing death and wants to see him. And the Bible says that they come, they arrive. Now as they pull up, they're probably in their chariots. And keep in mind, it was probably the nice chariots. They come strolling on in. I'm sure they probably visited from time to time. But as they come strolling in, you find 2 young men that were blessed, wealthy young men. Noble young men. I mean, these young men had a future in Egypt. Prosperous young men. And they come in to see Joseph, or see Jacob, as he's nearing death. You see, Joseph's children were blessed with great position in life and great possessions. They probably had the best education that the nation could offer. The rest of the Jews, keep in mind, the rest of the Jews remained humble shepherds. They sat there in the fields and they did the job that God had called them to do, of course. There's nothing wrong with that. But do you realize the Egyptians looked down upon the shepherds? The Israelites were degraded because of their job and because of what they did. Also, we know for the most part, worldly speaking, they were uneducated and without influence of any kind. They simply lived. And as the world was concerned, they were nobodies. I mean, they just were there, living life. Now, Joseph's boys were different. They were. They were nobility. They came from upper class. Some believe that their mother was a princess as far as Her dad was a high priest there in Egypt. And they were different in rank. They were different in privilege. And I guarantee you this, they were different in future prospects. In other words, they had a future, a bright future ahead of them. You know what we find in this passage from Jacob? Faith looks beyond worldly positions and possessions. Faith looked beyond that. You see, here come his grandsons with his son, and they're coming in to see him. And to Jacob, they were his precious grandchildren. Joseph was his precious son, the one that he had lost, or thought he had lost, and the one that he had gained back. And here come his family. You know, the Bible tells us that Jacob loved them just as he did his other sons. Actually, he promoted his grandchildren to positions as sons. Really, he gave them gave Joseph a double portion of the blessing. And each one of them would receive a blessing as if they were one of his sons, one of his children. So he brought them up and he elevated them. And the Bible tells us that Jacob prayed that God would bless them. Now, Jacob had nothing physically to give these young men. I could just see the scene. Here they come. I mean, they had everything that you could want in the world. And they're coming to see their grandpa. And he'd been a humble shepherd his entire life. You know, the one thing that stood out about him in Egypt was his old age. That's what stood out. But he didn't have wealth or power or anything like that. I tell you what, though, he was a man of God. And he walked with God and God blessed him. And they come down to meet him and they come before him. And the Bible tells us that he received them and he prayed. And he prayed for them. You see, he had nothing to give them physically, but he did believe God would bless him. And that's what he was going to give him. He was going to give him some instruction and some encouragement as they would continue. You know, by faith, what he did is he passed on the blessing. In other words, what he did is he knew the covenant. Now, he didn't give it to him, of course, but he passed it on as far as the challenge to have faith and to continue by faith. That's what he received from his father, Isaac. That's what Isaac received from Abraham. And so he challenged them to live by faith because he knew God would keep his word. Now this, when you think of the covenant that was made with Abraham, that included the land, that included a prosperous government, and of course, that included the Messiah. The world would be blessed spiritually through the line of Abraham. You know, we must never forget that their faith was in God's promise. That's what they were looking forward to. Yes, we talk an awful lot about the land, but you realize these Old Testament saints were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the one that would make atonement for sin. You know, all those sacrifices that they offered, that's what it was pointing to. It was pointing to that one sacrifice that would settle it forever. And so they had faith, and that's the faith that Jacob shared with Joseph's children. You see, today many people will lavish their children with physical blessings. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking care of your children, and I don't think there's anything wrong with giving them things. But if we're not careful, we can give them all the physical, I can say, possessions or blessings of the world, and if we fail to give them the spiritual teaching, we'll do them no good. Yes, they may enjoy life down here, but if we fail to teach them what really matters, then they may miss it. You see, teach them about faith. Teach them about God. Teach them about His Word and trusting in God, of course, for salvation, but also living by faith afterwards. You know, by faith, Jacob prophesied concerning their future, and that's where we pick up again. If you go back to Genesis 48, it says there, Genesis 48, it says in verse 11, "And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, Manasseh in his left toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, the left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly." In other words, he knew what he was doing. "For Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, he says, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. He held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations." Now I want you to notice by faith that Jacob prophesied concerning their future. Now, to Jacob, their future really was a mystery. Yes, he knew the prophecy that God obviously had given him concerning their future, but how things would play out How it all transpired, he had no idea. To him, it was a mystery. Now think of this. As he's blessing these young men, as he is predicting their future, they are living in Egypt. His son reigns as the prime minister, but the rest of his family has just settled in the land as shepherds. I imagine he may have wondered how and when they would leave. But it didn't prevent him from giving this blessing. Obviously, he had faith that God would pull them out when it was time. You see, here it becomes interesting. Because you notice Jacob purposely placed his hands. He switched them is what he did. Usually the right hand would go on the firstborn, left hand on the second one as far as the blessing was concerned. Bible says he did this wittingly. You know, he didn't make a mistake. He couldn't see. Now keep that in mind. He's acting by faith. He couldn't see, but I imagine he knew how Joseph would set them before him. And then he guided his hands and he crossed them and he put them on their heads. You know, he distinguished them by faith. You see, his faith was quickly tested. What did Joseph do? I don't think Joseph was necessarily at fault. I think Joseph was probably doing what any one of us would do, especially with our parents at times. You know, sometimes we want to help our parents out more than we need to. And here Joseph looks and he says, "No, Dad." And I could just see him getting ready to help out his dad. "No, Dad, you got him on the wrong one. You know, you need to flip around." And what's Jacob say? He said, "No, I did this on purpose. I know what I'm doing." In other words, it's by faith he was handing down this blessing. Now, Joseph was the son of his beloved wife, Rachel. I mean, he loved Joseph. I imagine the reunion between him and Joseph was so great and amazing when they met on that day. Also, Joseph was a man of power and authority. He was wise himself. And he was, I guess, himself was a great man of faith. Now, you think on this. It wasn't a personal attack as far as Joseph wasn't trying to, get his dad to not act in faith. But that's what really happened here. By Joseph attempting to fix things, Jacob's faith was subtly challenged. Now, I'm going to give you a warning here. Do you realize a lot of times we can falter with our faith just by subtle things? Not the great trial, not the great temptation, but little things in life can cause us to doubt and to wonder if God is still working or how many times have we prayed only to turn around and as you go through your day say, "Oh, I wonder if God actually heard my prayer. I wonder if He's going to answer my prayer." You see, if we're not careful, the subtleties of life can hinder our faith. And that's what happened here with Jacob. His faith was challenged a little bit. But he knew God's direction. And he obeyed what God had directed him to do. He said, "I know what I'm doing. I know it." Now to Joseph's credit, what did he do? He allowed it to go. He didn't try to force anything. He was faithful himself. You know, by faith, Jacob believed the prophecy. Here's where his faith comes in. By faith, he believed this prophecy would come true. He believed he was pronouncing the correct one. He was blind, he crossed his hands, and he believed that God was leading him correctly. It was not by chance, his hands were in the correct position, and he was pronouncing this faith, or this blessing that would come to pass. Now, at this point in his life, I really believe we see faith that was shining. You see, Jacob didn't argue with God. He didn't say, "God, I think the oldest should deserve this." He probably would have done that years back when he was younger. But he'd gotten to the point where he trusted God. And he followed the direction that God had for him. You see, that's mature faith. You see, that's what we should get to. It has nothing to do necessarily with our age. Mature faith trusts God. Mature faith will not argue with God. Mature faith will not try to reason it out. Mature faith will trust God and follow Him obediently. Also, it was true faith. I mean, he was blind physically. But he placed his hands correctly based upon faith. You know, by faith, he believed God would carry out these promises. It was complete faith. You think about this. Here you have two young men that were raised in Egypt. Both of them had, they had Egyptian mom. Their dad was prime minister of Egypt. And here, as Jacob is talking to them, he had faith that they would follow God. And faith that their family would be led afterwards, not only to follow God, but would be part of the nation as they would leave the land. You see, think about that. It was faith in God and His ability, I guess you say, to work. You know, by faith, he summarized his life. And we read a little bit of it there. You know what we basically have, I think, in this passage? We have Jacob handing down not only this blessing to these young men, but providing a little bit of encouragement as he's nearing the end of his life. You know, he begins by making it clear that he understood God prevented him from evil. That God was the one who did not allow him to fall into ruin and to disaster. As he looked back at his life, he accepted the mistakes. We don't find him excusing himself. He accepted his actions. He accepted his mistakes. and his blunders and his foolish decisions, but he also realized that God did not give up on him, that God was faithful, and that God saw him through those trials, that God overcame his mistakes and blessed him anyway. You know, the Lord worked in his life when you read the life of Jacob. The Lord worked in it not only to bring about, like you say, his will, but also to bless Jacob and to provide good things into his life personally. You see, I think we find that Jacob is looking back at his life and recognizing that it was a life of faith and that God did bless him. Notice something this morning. His understanding of God's will in his life took place at the end. You know, if we're not careful, we can get discouraged because we're trying to find the will of God. Now, we have the revealed will of God right here. If you want to know the will of God, read the Bible. You have His revealed will for your life. And then be obedient to the commands and the directions and what you find in this Word. But you know, there are a lot of people today, a lot of Christians, I think that get discouraged because they don't know the exact details of their life, of how God's going to work things out, or where God's going to lead them every second or every hour or every day or every week. You see, that's where we can get ourselves in trouble. And that's really when we need to live by faith and trust that God will direct. If you're obedient to His Word, you're living by faith, you're walking with Him, you're trusting Him, then trust that God will lead. You know, I have found in my own personal life that I look back now and I can see God working, where at the time I didn't even realize He was working. I can look back now and I can say, yeah, God obviously worked in my life there. God obviously took me to that place. God brought me to this individual and brought us to, you know, together for a reason, for a purpose. I can look back now and say that. At the time, sometimes I had no idea God was working, but He was. And I think that's what Jacob is doing here as well with these two young men. He's saying, look, God will work in your life. He did in mine. And God will remain faithful. So he summarized his life and he looked back at it for these two young men. You know, as we live, we just must walk by faith. We must trust God. Trust that he knows what is happening in your life. Trust he knows the temptations that are there, the trials, the difficulties, the hardships. Just trust that. Also trust that he knows how to work all things out for good. That he knows how to get you through that difficulty, that trial. That he knows how to take you not only into tomorrow, but through tomorrow. And into next week, and then next year, and that he's got a plan for your life. You see, that's just walking by faith and trusting God. You know, here we have Jacob. He lived his life, and near death, as he's conversing with his two grandsons, we have really a touching moment, I believe. Just a very special moment as he encourages them to live by faith. You know, by faith he directed these two men. Now, they were young men of prosperity, to look to God instead of trusting in the uncertain riches of the world. Now, I imagine Jacob knew that these two young men would be tempted to trust in those riches. I mean, that's what they were raised in. That's what they would see. But I imagine he's challenging them to trust in God. And I don't know if what was going on in Joseph's mind. The Bible doesn't tell us. But I can imagine him sitting there and probably shaking his head up and down, yep, as he recalled his own life and how God blessed him by faith and he led him the direction that he wanted him to go. I could just see him as a dad saying, listen, boys, Grandpa knows what he's talking about. He knows God. He loves God. He's been with God. He serves God. Listen to his advice. Live for the eternal promises instead of the worldly possessions. Live for what God has for you. You see, to Jacob, I think, as he's looking upon his grandsons, to Jacob, it was better that they follow God and needs be suffer, if that was the case, than to chase all the things of the world. You see, you can chase the things of the world. It's an endless endeavor, I'll tell you that. You'll never get them. You can chase all the money. You can chase your career. You'll never get everything that you may desire. You just never will. There's always something more to go after when you chase the things of the world. And secondly, it's an empty endeavor. There's really no substance to it. I mean, even if you could, I'll just give you an example. Say you could get everything in this world, everything you ever looked upon, everything you ever desired, everything that ever came across your path that you wanted. Say if you could get it all, do you realize you would leave it at some point? You're not taking it with you into eternity. It is remaining here on earth for your children or your grandchildren or for somebody else to take and to use and to enjoy. See, it's an empty endeavor. And by the way, I believe many have realized chasing the riches of the world brings no peace or no happiness, no contentment. I think that's why we have so many people in our world today that have either popularity or they have power or they have some type of possessions. You read all the time of these people doing crazy things or getting themselves in trouble or living in misery. It's because they have those things of the world and they still don't have no peace. This morning, don't chase the things of the world. Live for God. Live for the Lord and live for what's eternal. You know, it reminds me of D.L. Moody, the evangelist. They said that when he was nearing the end of his life, he had his family come in and he looked at his sons and he told them, he said, if you make your plans with God, he said, plan big. And that was his final advice to his boys as they live for the Lord. You know, I often think Jacob in a similar fashion was saying the same thing. You live for God, walk with God, and God will bless you. You see, by faith, Jacob looked forward and he challenged his grandsons to do the same. Finally, real quick, I'm going to give you some thoughts on our final point, and that is faith that looked fixed. Faith that looked fixed. Now, when I say fixed, I'm not talking about it was fixed, that it was broken. I mean fixed, that it was stable. When you looked upon his faith at the end of his life, it looked like it was stable faith now. It was set. It was sure. You know, Charles Spurgeon, when he was writing about this passage, he said this. He says, with believers, it may rain in the morning, thunder at midday, and pour torrents in the afternoon, but it will clear up when the sun goes down. And you think about that. That's how our life often is. It's like Jacob's. We got trials and difficulties and hardships, and at times we may struggle with our faith. But if you belong to God, when you come to the end, that sun will shine through. Your faith in God, your salvation will take you through, and you'll spend eternity with the Lord. You know, we find here with Jacob that his faith looked fixed. Now, Genesis 47 through Genesis 49 gives the account. We're not going to read that entire passage, but it gives the account of Jacob's actions, all of his actions before his death. How many days did that cover? I don't know, but it was obviously few, not very many days that it covered. But when you begin to look at his actions, you know what he did in those last days? He challenged his family concerning God and faith. Of course, we kind of went over the Joseph's sons, but later he would also give some advice to all of his children in that next chapter, and he would challenge them as far as their life. You see, he knew God's promises, and he believed the Lord would lead his family out of Egypt. Even though he wouldn't live to see it, he believed that God would keep his word. Before death, he challenged his family to do the same. You know, this morning, you think about that. That's faith. That's faith going into death. I mean, he looks at his family and says, I'm not going to see this, but God said it'll occur. So how about you hold on to it? You keep faith because God will never let you down. God will keep his word. You see, by faith, Jacob worshipped God. That's what it tells us in Hebrews 11:20. It says that he leaned upon his staff and worshipped God. He worshipped God by faith when death was near. Leaned upon his staff. Evidently, you know what happened when you put the two together from Genesis and then you put Hebrews? Evidently, he sat up in his bed and he rested upon his staff and he began to not only worship the Lord but give the blessings. Remember, he was crippled at this time. He'd been crippled years earlier in his life. After he stubbornly wrestled with the Lord, he was crippled. And I imagine at this point in his life, it probably took all of his strength to sit up in that bed. All of his strength to lean on that staff. I mean, he's nearing death now. He's weak. And that's why Joseph and them are there. You know, his youthful energy was gone. It was all spent, all used up. By the way, if you're young here this morning, keep that in mind. It's not going to last forever. Use it for God now. It's terrible to look back, I think, to get to the end and say, I wish I could have done more. I wish I would have lived for God. Use what you have for God now. And that's what we find here with Jacob. His physical strength was sapped. But notice this. His faith was strong. This morning, it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter your physical abilities or disabilities. Your faith can be strong in God. That's what we find with Jacob. His physical strength sapped. Faith was strong. His weakness did not prevent him from worshiping. Yes, he was unable to do the things well. I guess do things as well as he would have wanted to. But he still did them the best he could. You know, keep that in mind. There are going to be times in our life we might not be able to do everything we wish we could for God. But let's not just sit down and say, well, no, I can't do it, I just won't. Let's do what we can for God. Be faithful and serve the Lord where He places us. You see, he did not excuse himself from worshiping the Lord. I thank you for being out this morning. You see, he did not excuse himself from worshiping the Lord. In his old age, his faith was strong and it was evident for all to see. You know, what we find here is that Jacob actually lived by faith. And I want to make something clear. I believe Jacob's faith was there the entire time. I really do. Looking back at his life, I believe it was there. I believe he had faith in God's promises. He had faith in the covenant. He had faith that there would be a Messiah. The problem was his actions kind of muddied the water a little bit, so you couldn't see it. Now it is clear that he was a man of faith, that he loved God. I'm going to give you this warning real quick. I hope and pray everyone here is saved. But don't wait till the end of your life to trust in God. Don't wait till the end. Don't put it off and say, well, I'll address that later. Now, that happens. There are some people, I believe we're going to find in heaven, there are going to be some that trusted in Christ at the last second or last minute, so to speak. But don't count on that. If God is working in your heart today, get that settled right now. Two reasons. First, you're not promised tomorrow. You know, death often comes suddenly. It does. You know, you may not know when your end is near. And so it's best to get it taken care of while you have life, while you're here. And secondly, you know, you're not guaranteed understanding at the end of your life. I thought this was interesting. You ever heard of Matthew Henry? He's the one who wrote that commentary, Matthew Henry's commentary. There's a story about his dad, who was also a man of God, Philip Henry. It says that when Philip Henry was nearing death, that he had his family come in. And he began to talk to his children, and he looked at Matthew and he said this. He said, Matthew, what a blessing it is that I do not have to make my peace with God now. He says, my body is so full of pain, and my mind is greatly disturbed. If I had that to do, how could that be done? This morning, don't put off the decision for salvation, believing that you'll have time. You're not guaranteed that. And if you do have time, you're not guaranteed to be in the right frame of mind to make that decision. You see, if God is working on your heart now, if you're not saved, and God is working on your heart, the Holy Spirit has given you that conviction, get it settled today. Repent of your sins. Trust in Christ as your Savior. Put your faith in the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith, and that's what Jacob did. He lived by faith, and you know what he also did? He died by faith. He put his faith in God. With his last words, you know, some of his last words to Joseph, we find it at the end of Genesis 48, some of his last words to Joseph, in verse 21, he says, and Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die. Notice what he says next. But God shall be with you, and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. You know, his final words, some of his final words, were words that reminded him, his children, of God's faithfulness. You see, God would be with them. God would not leave them nor forsake them. Abraham was going to be gone. He was leaving this world. But God would still be there, and God would bless them. God would lead them out and take them to the promised land. The Lord would keep his word because he is faithful. You know, by faith, Jacob honored God, even in death. You know, as believers, we can do that. By faith, we can honor God as we head into eternity. You know, his actions made it clear that he trusted God to work, not only in his life, of course, but after he left, he trusted God would continue to work on behalf of his family, on behalf of what was taking place. And also his demeanor, the way he approached death, implies he believed God would take care of him as well as he went into eternity. Now you think about that. That's a testimony of faith. Because that is one of the most difficult times there is to have faith, is when we're nearing death. You know, when you have things settled with God, then that faith may shine brightly when you come to that point in your life. Now what about your faith today? I ask you a few questions as we close this message out. What about your faith? Is it evident? Perhaps there may be someone here that you're at your point in your life that Jacob was when he was younger. You know you're saved. You put your faith in God. But man, you just struggle from trial to trial or just in daily life. You struggle sometimes to trust that God will take care of things, that God has a plan for your life. And so you may doubt, you may worry, you may fret, you may become concerned. Learn a lesson from Jacob. You know, when he gets to the end of his life, he looks back and says, guess what? God took care of me the entire time. God took care of all things. And I imagine in his life, he probably thought to himself, you know, God would have taken care of it had I not messed with it. God would have taken care of it as well. You see, this morning, I want to encourage you to put your faith in God. You know, faith, that's what we're studying this year. Faith. Faith is completely trusting in God. 100%. Putting all your eggs in one basket, so to speak. Putting everything into God's hands and trusting Him to take care of it. Put your life into God's hands. Trust Him. Now, I know if you're saved this morning, you've already received Him as your Savior, but trust Him with the direction of your life. Trust Him as He leads on a daily basis. So, I ask you, how is your faith this morning? Is it evident? Is it seen by others? If people would examine your life, would they say, well, it's kind of like Jacob's. I think you're saved, but sometimes, I don't know. Now, we can all become like that. So if that's the case, let's just put our faith in God. You know, finally, do you live by faith? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? And are you a person of faith? We're going to have a time of prayer at this time, and we're going to have an invitation. You know, as we end this message, I want to encourage you to think about faith a little bit. You know, when it comes to salvation, faith is trusting God to take care of it. You know, it's not trusting God to take care of it with helping Him out a little bit, but trusting Him completely. You know, the Bible tells us we're saved by grace and through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, when you get to heaven, there's going to be no boasting. We're not going to run around and say, I got here because I did this. I got here because I was a good Christian, or because I gave this much money to my church, or I served. There's going to be none of that in heaven. We're all going to be there because of God's grace and God's mercy. We're all going to be there not because we deserve it, but because God says, I love you. You've trusted me as my Savior, and here's my salvation. This morning, I hope and pray you're saved. I challenge you to examine your salvation. Make sure that you put your faith in God, and that it's not in church membership or baptism or any other work, but it's in Jesus Christ alone. If not, you can get that settled today. You can trust in Christ.